peace to everyone. I will start with your small story first. Often we go with Mia, my wife, and she's behind the piano now. In the summer, we usually go driving there in Norway. A couple of years ago, we stopped in a place to fish. Maybe it's a Saltström in Swedish. It's a place where there's the world's strongest ebb and flow. So a large amount of water will be moved twice a day. And there is a lot of fish in that place. The stream and the flow brings the streams of fish. There is fish. We went there in the right time, and I was looking at when is the water at the right level, so when the fish will also come. And we parked our car and walked to the shore, and we saw when the water started to rise, and we saw this kind of a 2 kilo of I went to the car to get my fishing rod. And I went to a bench to sit, and I put this thread on my. I asked someone there at what would be a good piece to put there on my rod to catch the right fish, and I threw this my rod towards the swarm of fish. But I couldn't catch anything, and I thought, what is going on? And I noticed there on the bench where Mia was sitting that someone had put this kind of and I noticed it was broken, this thing with hooks that you can catch fish with. And I noticed two of the hooks were broken on that one. And I was thinking that will at least not work. So then I continued with my brand new one. But I couldn't catch any fish. And then I thought it won't cost me anything if I try that broken one with the two broken hooks. And I put that one there on my rod. And I threw out. And immediately a fish grabbed it. And I could get it almost to the... I could get a second fish. And I got a couple more fish. And I got to take one away. And I prepared that for lunch. We could have gotten a lot more fish, but we could not keep them cold. So we got only the two. But with this broken fishing equipment, we could have gotten a lot more fish. So the point why I'm telling this story, that for for us people, we might sometimes feel like this broken fishing equipment. And we can might feel like we are like broken and we can't do anything. But God loves to do powerful things right then when we are weak. Sometimes it can be in that way that if someone asks for prayer, and we might feel like, I don't feel like I'm full of the Spirit. And we might think that, well, I will pray when they ask. And right then, at such a time, God can answer sometimes very powerfully. If we think that if it's up to me, then nothing will happen. But it's not up to us or up to you or me, but it's up to God. Paul writes in the 2 Corinthians 4 and 7, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So a big power lives within us, the same power that resurrected Jesus from the dead. We are jars of clay. And this honor and the answer to prayer, what may happen, it belongs to God. Jesus says in his Sermon on the Mount, among other things, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And this passage by Jesus is good to remember if we feel like I can't amount to much right now. So that the kingdom of heaven would come also on earth. Sometimes it comes like in small pieces through such a person who might think, who has a humble spirit and attitude. In 2 Corinthians 12 and 9 to 11, Paul says that he has a weakness. He says that he has a sting in his flesh. And God says to God that my grace is, my power is made perfect in weakness in this ninth verse. And then Paul continues, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is rather a surprising text. We might sometimes pray that we would not need to suffer these kind of things. But God works very powerfully in such circumstances. In the years have passed in Syria, when there was a difficult situation and a lot of refugees came to Finland also, then God appeared there in Syria in many times, and many came to faith. And they got to see the here when we in Salo did some work with Arabic people. And I greatly appreciate such evangelists who go really to such regions. Sometimes as individuals we can feel broken. So our task in the congregation, so for example, when there was a corona, it might have felt that the congregation is a bit like it would be halting somehow. And then like a time of rebuilding started. So soon things started working better again. And for here is a good Bible passage from Isaiah 43, 18 to 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Actually, remembering the former things, we can interpret it as remembering bad things or difficult things. But before these verses, God told about what powerful things He has done in the among the Israelites, how He has delivered them and divided the sea for them. And then after that comes this verse. Forget the former things. See, I'm doing a new thing. And He says He's doing something, will do something even bigger that compared to... So this Obo Metsku is also like a success story. It's probably the most alive, Methodist Church in Finland, Swedish Methodist Church in Finland. And that God will continue His good work. I don't know exactly how He will do it, only He knows. And what God says, that He is making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland, then Turku is not in any way a particularly Christian city in Finland. It's another thing somewhere in Ostrobotnia. God promises to make streams in the wilderness, and it's already blossoming. We are going more and more into autumn right now. It might not look like a new time is blossoming. But back to the fishing. When Jesus called the first disciples, Peter and they didn't know anything about fishing for men. But they knew a lot about fishing for fish. But not fishing for men. In Matthew 4:19, Jesus says, "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." This is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. I have on my phone this Bible passage with a picture here of a fish. So at what point did the first disciples come to faith? So it was at this point. Here when Jesus calls them, they didn't know much about Jesus. Maybe they had heard of Jesus before, perhaps met him. There's a passage where Peter and Andrew meet Jesus. I'm not sure about the order in which things happened, but these men didn't know much about Jesus when they met him, and they decided to start following him, and they perhaps were. But they started to following him. They made a lot of mistakes, and they didn't had a lot of unbelief. And Jesus corrected them. And they learned, and Jesus made them fishers of people. Our theme for this autumn has been Jesus is my life. And this sounds very nice. And I hope that all of our life could be like this. Jesus is not calling us to do a lot of things. On the contrary, he says. He said in Matthew 11, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Stefan, our pastor, read this last Sunday. Jesus says the burden he gives is light. In many Bibles, there is like a sub-note to John, 1 John 5:3. It says, in fact, this is love from God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. A bit before that, John writes in 1 John 3:23, and this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. So the love command, shortly. So love one your neighbor as yourself. And then in Matthew it says that in these two commands all so in Matthew 22:40 it says all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And this is repeated many times in the Gospels, also in the books of Moses. When he talks to the Pharisees, when Jesus talks to the Pharisees, he cites Moses many times. So how are these connected? Jesus says, follow me and I will make you fishers of people. And he promises to give rest. And he says that his burden is light and gives the commandment of love. Jesus calls us to follow him, promises us to make us fishers of people, and then he says, love those people. When we fish for people by loving them. Sure, Jesus gives also more specific instructions. He says that where you walk, that say that the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is also in Matthew. This is Matthew 10:7. He says to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. But when we think about this, when we love people, of course we want to do good to others. We want to tell the gospel so that everyone could be saved. And all of this is included in this commandment to love. So there is this kind of teaching also. But let's receive people like as they are. And if it is asked of us, well, what is right, then we should stick with the truth. That is love. Anything else would be to lead astray. Well, sometimes we might feel like our brokenness might be our own fault. Like I before I came to faith, I had wandered about 20 years or so in the wrong direction. I was broken in that sense when I came to faith. And I humbled myself and gave my life to Jesus. And I thought that I've like lost 20 years or so of my life. And I thought what all things I could have done during those years. And then I thought that have I perhaps squandered God's plan? But then I thought also that I cannot really in that way like squander God's plan. God is powerful. God has seen everything beforehand, and he could have done anything. I don't know if there's someone here who needs to hear this, but if you think that you have at some point like squandered your life, then, dear friend, be at good cheer that you are not that strong either. For God, anything is possible. Still about following Jesus. In is Matthew, when Jesus calls the disciples, and he says, "Follow me." It's like we can directly translate from Greek to Finnish. The Bible is full of instructions for us, and we are also recommended to. But we can be at peace that when we receive Jesus' calling, then we are on the right path. Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. Paul writes in Ephesians about following God. In Ephesians 5, in the beginning, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Here, the followers word is an imites. So in English, there's a word called imitators. So this comes here comes also the Finnish or Swedish word mimic. So we know a mime who is like mimicking someone else. So be the mimes of God, so to speak. So this is very clearly said. So it's also like the will be the theme of the coming camp. So Jesus says himself in John 14:9, Jesus says, we can read about what Jesus did. Mainly in Jesus' ministry is it seen the love what he did. He healed. He declared the gospel. And he himself represented the kingdom of heaven. We can also represent it by following Jesus and trusting in his example. That is what he's calling us to. He walks with us still every day, all the time. He has promised Jesus promises in the last sentence of Matthew. In Matthew 28:20, and teach him to obey, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Let's pray.